Here's a story about a little boy who wasn't allowed to say the words Christmas tree. It's a reminiscence by Harold Wright, and it takes us back to 1938 and the Appalachian community of Depression-era Dayton. Wright was born and raised in Dayton. He graduated from Northridge High School and served in the U.S. Navy during the Korean War. That led him to Japan and ultimately to his calling in life. He's Professor Emeritus of Japanese Language and Literature at Antioch College, where he taught for over 30 years. He's an award-winning translator, a poet, and a folklorist in two cultures. He and wife Jonatha are well-known storytellers, spinning yarns of all sorts, from the spooky to the sublime. I'm Jocelyn Robinson of Rediscovered Radio with another gem from the WYSO audio archives. Here's Harold Wright with a 1981 recording of Christmas Leaves.
Christmas of 1938 was approaching, and a cold winter wind pierced my worn, patched clothing. Snow had fallen intermittently over Dayton's inner city, and had already turned to a blackish gray from the numerous coal-smoked chimneys. We had had snow ice cream once, but even then had to carefully scrape away the layer of dirty gray with a spoon before we could heap up our bowls with the hidden whiteness. Yes, it was 1938, and I was 7. Vernon, the skinny boy of 9 from next door, and I were figuring out a way to change the 7 of the year to an 8, so that we could use the leftover Christmas seals that my mother had given me to play with. I enjoyed sticking Christmas seals on the few cards that I sent to my grandmas and grandpas, but we couldn't afford new ones this year. But I was wondering if it wasn't a bad thing to do. Vernon was bad. He told lies and even had to get spanked for stealing his daddy's whiskey. One day his daddy got smart and drew a line with a pencil on the bottle where he had finished drinking. Vernon was smart, too, and he erased his dad's line and then drew another one after he had had a drink. But I guess he couldn't erase very well. And that worried me when it came to changing the Christmas seals. What if we did get caught? Maybe the police and everybody would come and get us. But then another boy came and told us that the seals picture changed the pictures every year, too, so it wouldn't work anyway. It really scared me to think about how close we came to getting into trouble. So during the Christmas vacation of 1938, I spent a lot of time in our room. Sometimes I played with clothespins on my parents' bed in the corner of the room. Clothespins made such neat soldiers and other kinds of little people. Sometimes I made paper wings for them so that they could fly. The pillows were always forts or mountains or caves. Sometimes I looked at a funny book or two that Dad would buy me at the used magazine store down the street when he would go and buy his hunting and fishing stories. All our magazines had the covers torn off of them, and I really missed those pretty pictures on the front of new magazines and funny books. Sometimes Mom would let me use the writing tablet to draw pictures in. Now don't use too many pages. I still have to write to Grandma on them. My pictures were usually of ghostly figures in hoods and darkened faces that had huge pendants of diamonds hanging by chains from around their necks. They looked something like Bible people, but maybe they were from funny books. Dad always wanted me to draw dogs. I did my drawing on the table in the middle of the room. That's where the light was. My cot was over in the corner by the front door. At night it was dark, and there was a little end table that always had a Bible or something on it. But as Christmas approached, I started drawing Christmas trees again. My pictures were of tall trees with balls and stars and angels and ropes of tinsel and foil. A big array of presents surrounded the base. Then I would ask, "Daddy, when are we going to get a Christmas tree?" For the first couple of weeks in December, he would simply say, "We'll see." But then the middle of December had passed and the ones turned to twos on the calendar. 25 would be here soon. "When are we going to get a Christmas tree, huh? When we?" But Daddy had just gone through the whole thing about the WPA cutting back and something about there was no money. "I've even gone all week without cigarettes." And I knew that tone of voice. Next, he would be using those awful words. Boy, I hated to hear those words. I never knew exactly what they meant, and I was afraid to ask, but would lay awake shaking at night when I heard them. Fired, I could understand. Anybody who was bad was going to burning hell. I knew that. And then you would burn for eternity, screaming for mercy and forgiveness. And there would be no end. The devil would continue to feed coal to the fire while your soul roasted. But that had something to do with dead people. I didn't understand, except that maybe the boss was planning to kill my daddy and then send him to hell to get fired that way. Boy, I would watch for Daddy to come home whenever he was talking about getting fired. One day he did come home and announce that he had been fired. I observed him carefully for traces of burns and smoking clothes. Maybe it actually hadn't happened yet. Maybe it would come in the night, and he would disintegrate like a burning piece of paper and be gone screaming forever. So I could understand something of getting fired. But getting canned, that was a mystery to me. There was nothing in the Bible or in Sunday school about that. Yet the way my father talked about it, it was something just as awful. Now, I knew something about canning. My mother did an awful lot of canning every summer and fall. We would gather dandelions in the park in the spring, and she would stuff them into glass jars and boil them before sealing them. Then there were tomatoes and green beans during the summer and vegetable soup in the fall. Later, after hunting season, we would open. She would start on the squirrels and later the rabbits. I even liked to help my dad skin the animals. I'd hold him by the back feet while he stripped off their fur. I never did like that song, however. Bye, baby bunning, Danny's gone a-hunting to get a little rabbit skin to wrap his darling baby in. I could just never stand the thought of being all wrapped up in those bloody hides. But rabbits and things were meat and tasted good, all crispy when Mom fried up a skillet full. She would can what we didn't eat right away. But I couldn't understand what they meant when they talked about Daddy getting canned. First of all, I'd never seen a jar big enough to hold him. But there were a lot of things I'd never seen. The Bible told of a lot of strange and unusual things. Camels riding through the eye of a needle and things. Maybe they had big needles somewhere. And if they had big needles, they could surely have big jars. Sometimes I would ask innocently, "What's the biggest jar you ever saw?" My mother would hold out her hands and attempt to approximate a gallon jug or something. And I would stand on a chair trying to guess the size of something that would hold my dad and say, "Ever see one this big?" And I'd be told that I was silly and I felt relieved. But that didn't mean that there was no such thing somewhere. Dad did talk about some of the other men on the job getting canned. They must have jars that big. Sometimes I'd get all scared inside to think of my daddy all skinned and naked and dead and cut up and boiled and pooched down inside a big glass jar. Sometimes I'd sit in front of my mother's canning shelf and tears would trickle down my cheeks. Once my mother asked me why I was crying, and I said that I was afraid that Daddy was going to get canned. And she smiled and says, "Oh, that wouldn't be too bad." But I couldn't stop crying. I just couldn't see how in the world he's ever going to get back out of that big jar once he was cooked and everything. Squirrels and rabbits certainly couldn't. I knew that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, but he wasn't all skin and cut up. Besides, I knew what happened to canned things. People ate them. And I could then see my daddy on some boss's big pantry shelf being saved for some party or something. And then I'd hate bosses worse than anything in the world. They were not going to can my daddy. And I'd whimper and sob until I heard his footsteps. One day, after writing a note about not having a Christmas tree or nothing yet in a Christmas card to my grandpas and grandmas and some of the kids back in the country, I decided to go out to play. Maybe I would just go back in the alley and look through the coal cinders that the people were spreading on slick places. Sometimes I would find pretty pieces of melted glass, or maybe I would go look in people's windows to see how many Christmas trees were up so far. But after getting outside, I decided to walk to the filling station and look at the cars. But boy, was the filling station different this day. They weren't just selling gas and oil and tires and stuff. They were selling Christmas trees. There must have been 900 Christmas trees, tall ones and short ones, all leaning against the side of the building. I had never seen so many. They smelled so green I could taste them. So I stood and looked. I touched. I crawled under them. I pretended I was in a woods. I played like they were all mine. I wondered how it would be to see them all full of ornaments and silver icicles. I wondered how many lights it would take to light them all. I tried to decide if I liked the tall, skinny ones best or the short, stubby ones. When I couldn't stand it anymore, I ran home. Mommy, Mommy, the filling station is selling Christmas trees. Come look, come see the Christmas trees. But Mom was cooking another pot of beans or something for supper and wouldn't come out. Boy, just wait for Daddy to come home. He'll be surprised, and I waited. This was no day to even be thinking about being canned or fired. He just had to come home. I made 4 or 5 trips to the filling station to look at the trees and remember all the prices. $1, $1.50, or $2, and 75 cents and 50 cents for the little ones. Just wait until Daddy gets home. So after a while, the sun began to set down over the factories, and I knew it would be about time. I sat at the table drawing Christmas trees until I heard his footsteps, those big, heavy shoes on the wooden front porch that led up to the door. Daddy's home! Daddy's home! The filling station is selling Christmas trees. They got hundreds of them. The big ones are $2, and they got little ones for 50 cents, and are also green and smell so good. Come see, can we get one now? Come on, can we? Come on, come see. Christmas trees are the most beautiful things in the world. Can we get a Christmas tree? Can we get one now, huh? We'll see. But, Daddy, there are only 5 left for Christmas. Maybe they'll all be gone. When can we get one, huh? Mom looked up from her pot of beans. Now, Daddy's tired. He worked hard all day. Quit pestering him. But please just come and see the Christmas trees. You don't have to buy one tonight. Just come and look. Please come and look anyway. Dad slowly hung his coat on the hall tree. He turned and looked at me. He looked mad again. He looked like he had canned and fired looks all over his face. And I begin to think, oh no, here it comes. And I begin to see huge glass jars and stuff. Boy, he said, I don't want to hear any more about damn Christmas trees. I'm tired. I just got home. And I don't want to hear another word. But I just wanted to show you how pretty the Christmas trees were. We don't have to buy one tonight. Just come and look. You ain't too tired to look. Boy! And I knew that tone. Maybe he was too tired. If you so much as say the word Christmas tree in this house again, I promise you that you won't get one. And that was it. I knew he meant that. I can't even say the word anymore. Boy, that was going to be hard. I looked at Mom, who merely pointed a spoon at me and says, Now mind your daddy, he is tired. I went over to the corner and sat on my cot. My bottom lip began to tremble, and I looked at the wall. Daddy started talking about the boss or something, and I didn't even care. I wanted a Christmas tree now, and I wasn't even allowed to say the word anymore. How was I going to get him to buy one if I wasn't allowed to tell him? I couldn't understand about not being allowed to say some words, but not being allowed to say Christmas tree was awful. I could remember being told not to say bad words, but Christmas tree wasn't a bad word. Here it was, Jesus' birthday, and I wasn't even allowed to say Christmas tree. But of course he said he wouldn't buy a Christmas tree if I said that word. So I reckon that means that he would have to buy one if I didn't. That is, if I didn't forget. I was just going to have to find a way to keep reminding him not to forget without using that word. But it was still unfair, and Mom had to call me 3 times for supper. And when I went, I didn't say anything at all. In fact, I only ate 1 helping of store bread and beans with ketchup on it. And I really like store bread with beans and ketchup on it. And then I went to bed early. The next day, however, I began to put my plan in action. No siree, my daddy wasn't going to forget about Christmas. Even if I wasn't allowed to use the word Christmas tree, there were ways to keep him reminded, but I wasn't sure how to do it yet. Maybe singing Christmas carols would help. So all day I practiced singing all the Christmas songs I knew. Even when I forgot all the words, I could still hum. So that night when Daddy got home, I was all ready with about 6 or 7 Christmas songs. As soon as I heard his big shoes a-clomping up the steps, I let in. Deck the halls with twigs of holly, tra-la-la-la, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun, silent night, holy night, all is calm and all is bright. And I knew he heard, but he didn't say anything at all. So at supper, I started asking questions as I gnawed my rabbit leg, carefully, of course, so I wouldn't bite into any buckshot. Which do you like best, rabbit or turkey? Or which do you like best, mincemeat pie or pumpkin? But that was no good. He always liked rabbit best no matter what, and he didn't like pies much at all. The next day was the 23rd. Now things were getting serious. Maybe he had forgotten it was Christmas. I had to do something. First, I decided to draw pictures. Yes, I'd draw a big picture of a Christmas tree and leave it on the table. Surely he'd see that. Besides, he didn't say that I couldn't draw a picture of one. Just say the word. Then I went out to play, and there was Vernon. He had a Christmas tree. Come see my Christmas tree. And I did. It was kind of pretty, and it was tall, but it didn't have very many ornaments on it, and some of them are cracked. So I asked Vernon to go down to the filling station with me, and as we walked, I told him of my problem, and he just laughed and told me about what a nice dad he had, and I wanted to tell him so bad about his dad dancing with that drunk woman I saw in a bar one night, but I couldn't. I promised my dad I wouldn't tell Vernon. So we looked at Christmas trees. We decided which ones looked the nicest. We argued about tall trees and short ones, and then I made my discovery. Over behind the filling station, right next to those big oily barrels that had broken car parts and grease in them, there was a whole pile of branches that had been cut off Christmas trees. A whole pile of them, and most of them were still clean. I picked up one and ran around to the filling station man and asked, "You throwing these away?" He explained that he had been trimming some of the lower branches off the trees, and yeah, he's throwing them away. "You want them?" Oh boy, did I want them. Vernon and I took a big armload each. I rushed in the house and told my mother about the Christmas leaves. Yes, that's what I'd call them, Christmas leaves. I couldn't say limbs of Christmas trees because I would have to say that word. So it was Christmas leaves this and Christmas leaves that. Mom even let me use a string, and I tied them to the post on the front porch and tied them in circles for the front door, and drug some inside and strung them along the mantel, and put some in a jar for the table, and hung some more about my bed. Boy, Christmas leaves were neat. They were almost as good as having a tree itself. Wait until Daddy came home. This would remind him that it was Christmas. I wouldn't have to say very much now. I was even planning to go out to the alley to find a stick. Maybe I could tie the Christmas leaves to the stick and make my own Christmas tree. Yeah, that would do. Even on Christmas Eve, if Daddy didn't buy a tree, I'll just make my own. I was just thinking that I should go out to look for a stick just in case when I heard the heavy footsteps. "Daddy, Daddy, look at the Christmas leaves. The man in the filling station gave them to me. He's got a whole lot more. I hung them here and stuck them here. Look. Did you see the Christmas leaves on the door, on the porch? Would you like some by your bed?" And I was thinking that if we weren't going to buy one, we could make one by tying some of these Christmas leaves to a stick from the alley or something. So if you can't buy one, we could make one. We really could, out of Christmas leaves. After hanging up his coat, Dad sat down heavily in a chair. He looked at me with that look again and said, "Boy!" I knew something was coming, but I didn't know what. I knew I hadn't said that word. But he started in it anyway. "I told you that You would not get a Christmas tree if you ever said it again. So shut up or you won't get one. I mean that. But, Daddy, I didn't say that word. Honest, I didn't. These are Christmas leaves. Leaves, not the other word. I didn't use that word. Honest. Now, with these Christmas leaves, we could make one ourselves. If you didn't want to buy one, all we would need is an old stick and some string. Just shut up. Not another word. I mean that. Boy, I thought you're not allowed to talk about nothing around here. And I went over to my cot and chewed my lip until supper. But I was pleased enough with my decorations to eat two helpings of store bread, beans, and ketchup. The next day I fidgeted. I was in the house and out of the house. I carried Christmas leaves and stacked them on a porch. I looked for sticks for the trunk, just in case. I cut string just the right size. I had everything ready, just in case. If my dad came home again all mean and telling me to shut up, and here it was Christmas Eve, too, I'd just come out on the front porch. I didn't care how dark it was. I'd just make myself a Christmas tree, and I'll sneak it in when they're asleep. And I'll hang up my stocking myself, and Santa Claus will come anyhow. So there, too. Because I wasn't bad. Too much, anyway. And I did mind that I didn't say Christmas tree when I was told not to. Besides, it's not a bad word anyway. The sun finally went down over the factory, and it was getting darker. I played in the house. Then I ran out. I looked down the street, and my dad wasn't coming. I went back in. I asked Mom where Daddy was. Oh, he'll be coming soon. Supper's not quite ready yet. I looked out the window. I rearranged my Christmas leaves by my bed, and I waited. And then I heard the heavy footsteps. He was here at last. But I wouldn't say anything. I didn't want to be told to shut up. Surely he'll know it's Christmas Eve. Surely he knows that this is the last day to get a Christmas tree. But I couldn't even hint anymore. I'll see what he says before I start making mine. But boy, I wanted him to go out and buy a real one. The door opened, and Daddy was smiling. He even came over and patted me on the head and said, "You being a good boy?" I was too surprised to say anything, but he did smell of beer. That is why he was late. He stopped for beer. He even went over and hugged my mom. Now that is something he didn't do every day. Then he pulled this little yellow envelope out of his pocket. I got paid today. And he emptied the contents on the table. Now that was a lot of money. I saw at least one $10 bill and some ones and some change. Boy, I could taste that Christmas tree. And then he went out to the front door and brought in a small paper bag, and he handed it to my mother, who quickly stuffed it in the closet. I had to know. What was that? Never you mind. I'll wash up for supper. Still no mention of a real Christmas tree, but I was happy enough to eat two bowls of vegetable soup and three pieces of store bread. Later, after Dad picked up his bowl and finished slurping the last of his soup, he looked at me and said, "You reckon they got any of them trees left down at the filling station?" "Oh, yes, they got a whole bunch of them. They're even cheaper than they were yesterday. There are some big tall ones and some little fat ones, and they sure are pretty and still smell so good." I was still careful not to use that word. It might be too soon. So hand in hand, Daddy and I went down to the filling station to pick out a tree. Take your pick. And we picked out a plump tree that would fit the stand beside my bed, and I was delirious. After stringing up the lights and adding the ornaments and icicles, we sat down and admired it. I loved the blue, green, yellow lights best of all. That one white one always hurt my eyes and looked anyway like a regular old light bulb, even though it did have a fine shape. Then I borrowed again one of my dad's old hunting socks. I always liked his hunting socks for Christmas because he had much bigger feet than mine, and hung it on the mantel. Then I dug around under the cot and found my two little gifts for Mom and Dad. My presents were always the same and purchased from piggy bank savings weeks ahead of time. a box of razor blades for Dad, and a little mirror or nail file or something for Mommy. Then after putting my two presents under the tree, we sat down and sang all the Christmas songs I knew, and they really liked them. But something was missing. I really wanted some candy for Christmas. Oh, I knew Santa would have some hardtack, a candy cane or something in my stocking the next morning, along with the nuts and an orange. But some candy would taste so good, maybe something chocolate. Then I remembered the empty bonbon box on the mantel. I loved coconut-filled pink and white and chocolate bonbons, best of any candy in the world. I had received a whole box of them, maybe last Easter, and I had stretched them out as best I could, but the box had been empty since summer. Occasionally, however, I would still go to the box just to smell it or to look for lost little flakes of chocolate or coconut. Sometimes I would wet my fingers and rub it around the inside of each little brown paper candy cup. Usually, I could find a dust-sized particle of remaining candy. But I had done that so much for so many months, there probably wasn't even a smell left. But the urge to taste chocolate and coconut was overwhelming. I stood up and said, "Boy, I wish I had some candy." My mother agreed some candy would taste good. Then I said, "Boy, I wish I had a bonbon. Wouldn't a bonbon taste good?" Even my dad agreed that a bonbon would taste really good. And he was too old to even like candy. I stood looking at the old bonbon box, and then I says, "I just wish I had magic. If I had magic, I'd just say, 'Bonbon box be full.' Boy, they would taste good." I approached the box. Maybe there would be a little crumb of coconut left over. Maybe I had overlooked one anyway. Maybe there would be some little crumbs underneath the paper cups. Once I had found some under there, if I just had magic. I walked to the mantel and reached for the box. Mommy and Daddy just sat and looked at me. They always thought I was silly when I talked about magic and stuff. I stood on my tiptoes and grasped the box with both hands. I lifted it, and the box was heavy. I dropped it back on the mantel. I whirled around and looked at my parents with wide open eyes. "It's heavy. The bonbon box is heavy." My mother says, "Really? I wonder what's in it." She acted like she didn't know. Maybe she didn't. But I remembered she once said that she would like to have that box for sewing stuff when I was finished. But I was never finished. And maybe she put her scissors and thread and stuff in there anyway. Maybe she forgot. But it looked like she really didn't know. I looked at Dad. He didn't look like he knew either. He did have a funny grin on his face, but he always did when he stopped for a glass of beer on paydays. No, I reckon they didn't know what was in the box either. Maybe I really do have magic. I felt scared. I began to back away from the mantel. "Well, aren't you going to look?" I wanted to. I wanted to look so much, but I was afraid of disappointment. I wanted bonbons to be in that box. Nothing else would do. Daddy says, "Well, maybe it's a mouse nest." "No," I said, "it's too heavy for a mouse nest." And then I decided to look. I was a little afraid, but standing on my tiptoes again, I slipped off the lid. "What is it? What is it?" My parents were excited. I couldn't speak. I didn't believe it. I felt bad and scared. Maybe I did have magic, because there, row upon row, was a box full of pink and white and chocolate bonbons. Later that night, after I said my prayers and got tucked in, I lay awake for the longest time. I couldn't stop thinking about magic and miracles and Santa and the tree. Daddy was snoring real loud over in a corner, and my mommy quit squirming around. I was searching my back teeth for little pieces of leftover coconut, and finding another one, I nibbled it deep into the night. I could smell the Christmas tree and all the Christmas leaves, and I listen for jingle bells up on the rooftop. And as I was thinking that this was the perfectest Christmas Eve ever, some drunks started singing Silent Night way far away, and I felt so warm, so good, and so glad.